Join us today for Saints and Sinners, as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners. Your host Ken Johnston and my good friend Father Doug McKay. Hello, Father.
Hey, Ken. Hello, everyone.
And we want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners today. Thanks so much for being with us and for whatever part of the next 2 hours you can spend with us. We're certainly grateful for your prayers and your financial contributions that have kept us on the air for quite a while. And we need it now more than ever with things that are going on in our communities, in the our country, around the world, in our church. We need to be more prayerful than ever, and fortunately we have this radio apostolate to help you cope. I know I've had a number of friends that have reached out to me over the last couple of weeks, and either between personal conversations we've had or the shows that they've listened to on the radio, they talk about how much it's helped them. So your prayers and financial contributions go a long way in helping people, whether you all know it or not. So we thank you for that.
And yet we keep our Lord right in the center of this radio program. I was just thinking of the, Peter, when our Lord was saying about the Eucharistic presence, and how can we eat your body and drink your blood, and many of them left him. And then Jesus turned to Peter and the other apostle, will you too leave me? And Peter said, to whom shall we go? You have the words of everlasting life. And it's keeping him in the center, and we keep going to him because he's always with us until the end of the world. And he'll solve all of our problems and answer all of our questions and restore all things and make all things new. Just give Jesus permission to do what he came to do, to save us all, this crazy world of ours, and to stay with us through it all. You know, what a blessing. You know, when you really have that faith and trust in him, that all your worries, they seem to melt away. But it's when we take our eyes off him that we really get really nervous and anxious, because we're thinking, well, I got to do all this myself, and we can't do anything without him. And he'll do everything for us if we just give him the permission and trust him.
Amen. Amen. I've got a few people that, what can I do? I feel like I got to do something. You know, they want to blast somebody with their words or protest or what have you, and just that pent up frustration. And sometimes it's just a matter of being in tune with God and spending time in prayer and being silent and listening for that word or message that he may have for us. Because I don't think any of us knows of a single solution that's going to fix everything that's going on, especially in these times. It just seems almost insurmountable. But we know in the end God wins, right? We read the book, and we have to bide our time and see how he's going to work it out. We've shared before, and I know a couple of weeks I was on without you, and I don't know if I mentioned it when you were on, but our good friend Franny Rafferty that went home to heaven, and I try to channel him all the time to find out what God's plan is. And sometimes I'm jealous because Fran probably knows what the end game is. Meanwhile, the rest of us are here plodding through, doing the best we can day in and day out. And just waiting to see what unfolds. So,
amen to that. Yeah. Let the Lord ever before us. With him at our side, we shall not be disturbed.
Amen.
Yeah, but Satan's a sore loser. He's already lost. Yep. The victory's ours. Claim it.
Yep.
And take it to heart with Jesus. And we're home free. And there's the peace and the joy and the love. You know, we receive that in prayer, and then we bring that into the world to others who are so hungry for it all and thirsty for the truth that will set us all free. And that truth is Jesus Christ and the way and the life.
Very good. Well, Father McKay and I are part of Warehouse Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anyone else that comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at ourhouseministries.org. Father and I are also available to come out and speak at your parish or other group. Just get in touch with us either through the Warehouse Ministries website or through Maureen here at In His Sign. Also at that Warehouse Ministries website, if you would like to sponsor one of our shows, There's a link for a donate button, and within there, there's actually a link to make a donation towards sponsoring one of our hours. So if you'd like to do that, we'd certainly appreciate it. Any help you can provide for this great radio apostolate is certainly appreciated.
And so, what is it, Ken? OurHouseMinistries.org?
Yep. All one word, all spelled out, OurHouseMinistries.org. And let's start with some prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. The following is the prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization. Lord, in your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
O Mary, conceive without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceive without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceive without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you.
Our Lady of Recovery and St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
Venerable Matt Talbot.
Pray for us.
St. Maximilian Kolbe.
Pray for us.
St. Monica.
Pray for us.
St. Mark G.
Pray for us.
St. Martin of Tours.
Pray for us.
Our patron saints and guardian angels.
Pray for us.
And all the saints and angels.
Pray for us.
May the divine assistance remain always with us.
And may the souls of the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. And we talked right before the show, Father, or as we were coming on, and you know, today is a day to celebrate our veterans, November the 11th being Veterans Day, so we want to praise and thank God for all those that have served in the armed forces for the United States and allowed our country to be what it is today, those that are still alive, and certainly those that passed, especially if they happen to lose their lives during those wars and fighting for our security, for our religious freedom, for all the freedoms that we get to experience in this country that, you know, many others long for and why they come to this country. So for those that are listening, if you've served, please know how grateful Father and I are for your service. For those that have lost loved ones, know that they are in our prayers today. And maybe, Father, we could offer a prayer for them.
Yeah. You know, so, Ken, I was just thinking that Chinese parable, I often think of that. I think the first one I heard it from was from Cardinal Regali, when he said the Chinese parable, when you drink the water, don't forget who dug the well. And when we enjoy the freedom of our nation, one nation under God, and the freedom of religion, don't forget who fought for it, who paid the price for it, who's still paying the price for it, and who made that ultimate sacrifice for it, that our troops. And, you know, I don't know, Ken, I'm just thinking, too, you know, the wars that go on our street, our police officers, too, they're veterans. You know, there's veterans that gave their lives, you know, all the police officers, you know. That's a calling. That's really a ministry. I think of them as well, you know. Like you said, they keep us safe from evil. And so many firefighters and all. But today's Veterans Day. But, you know, just think about all the people who put their lives on the line every day, you know, that we can be safe and worship God the way we believe, the way we want to. And, you know, thank God for all those troops and those who, you know, even today that are suffering post-traumatic stress disorder. Many of them are, as we know, Ken, are addicted to drugs and alcohol and the terrible nightmares that they have for the savages of war. And I think of my own brother, Harry, who died because of the post-traumatic stress disorder. But for all the troops today, you know, those who are serving, those who have served, we pray. Dear Jesus, we praise and thank you, Lord, for all the goodness, all the love that you infuse into the hearts of your people, of your brothers and sisters, Lord, to bring those graces to protect us from evil. And today, Lord, we just ask that you embrace all of our troops and also those who suffer the most from the savages of war, to bring your healing graces to them. And may those who made that ultimate sacrifice and are home with you, who have served, maybe rejoicing in that presence, where everything is peaceful and joyful, and where they're all interceding that all God's children here, Jesus, your brothers and sisters, may truly live in peace and justice, and we truly may love one another as you love one another, and to end all wars, Lord, and to reveal yourself to us, that love that you have for us, so that we may love one another. And we ask these blessings upon our nation, our world, and especially today upon all of our troops, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And
Amen.
May the divine assistance remain always with us, and may the souls of our veterans be happy forever in the kingdom of God's glory. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. God bless our veterans.
Amen. All right, this is a one-hour call-in show. We got about 50 minutes left. You can call and join in at any point. The number's 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906. Hopefully Bob's got the right number this week. Or you can call toll-free at 888-34-FAITH, 888-343-2484. You can always listen to us over our website at inhissign.com, and also available on some of the apps on a smartphone in order to get radio stations, especially if, as it starts to get darker, our signal may not be as strong, but other options to listen. We'll try to do Is That Odd or Is That God up at the bottom of the hour, but we're going to need you to call in order to do so. We'll give out the numbers again before we go to the break at the bottom of the hour. So we are in the 32nd week of Ordinary Time. It seems like we're racing full speed towards the end of the liturgical year, not that far off. On Monday the 9th, we had the Feast of the Dedication of the Lateran Basilica. Yesterday, Tuesday the 10th, St. Leo the Great. Today, Wednesday the 11th, we celebrate St. Martin of Tours. And tomorrow the 12th, St. Josephat. On Friday the 13th, Friday the 13th, St. Francis Xavier Cabrini. And since it is Wednesday and today is the Feast of St. Martin of Tours, we thought we would start with St. Martin. He lived in the 4th century, born around, I got to get back to the right page here, born around the year 316, and he would die on November the 8th in the year 397. He was a conscientious objector. He didn't want to fight, but had to go into the military. He actually went at a young age, at the age of 15. And he stayed in the service till sometime in his early 20s. He was actually a catechumen and baptized when he was 18. And he really wanted to be a monk. He preferred that to being a soldier. At the age of 23, he turned down a war bonus and told his commander, quote, "I have served you as a soldier, now let me serve Christ. Give the bounty to those who are going to fight, but I am a soldier of Christ, and it is not lawful for me to fight." So, after some struggles, he was finally discharged, and he went to be a disciple of another saint, Hilary of Poitiers. And he was actually ordained an exorcist and worked with zeal against the Arians. He did become a monk. And first he lived in Milan, and later on a small island. Hilary had been exiled, and when restored, Martin returned to France to be with Hilary, and may have been the first French monastery near Poitiers. So Martin would have been a part of that. He lived there for 10 years, forming disciples and preaching. The people of Tours then demanded that he become their bishop, and they tricked Martin into showing up. They said they had a sick person there, and they supposedly brought the sick person to the church. Martin shows up, and there he was consecrated bishop. And some of the others didn't think that he should have been bishop. He had a unkempt hair, rumpled appearance, so some thought he wasn't dignified for the office. But anyway, A couple of things with Martin. One was that he wanted to spare the heretics. The church was at a point where it was putting them to death, and Martin of Tours was against that. And you know, thought that there were points that they could get along with and I guess eventually try to convert them back, but he was against killing the heretics. And the other thing that was interesting is that he was one of the first saints to not be a martyr. So in those days, of course, there were plenty of martyrs with the Roman persecutions and other persecutions that were going on. So Martin of Tours was actually one of the first saints to be named that was not a martyr. So St. Martin of Tours lived in the 4th century, again, died on November the 8th, 397, and I'm sure celebrated today up in, I guess it's on Oxford Circle, on around Roosevelt Boulevard, where St. Martin of Tours Parish can be found here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia.
Yeah, I found it interesting, too, that some of the writers said he's related to St. Patrick, that St. Patrick's mother, Concessa, would be the niece of St. Martin of Tours. And that's kind of interesting, you know, how saints breed saints and saint families, you know, the line. But he came from pagan parents, Martin of Tours. And it was a spiritual experience that he had, Ken, that really led him to it. And it's a popular story, and I love this story. You know, in fact, the reading today for the Mass, daily Mass, is Matthew 25, whatever you do to the least of my brethren, you do unto me. And the story goes that when he's a soldier, he comes down, and it's a frosty day, severe winter time, and he comes across a beggar who's very lightly clad and trembling and shaking cold, and he has no alms on him, and all he has is his military outfit, his cloak, and his sword. So he takes his sword, and he takes his cloak off, and he cuts the cloak in half, and he wraps the half around him, then wraps the other half around the half-naked man. And the bystanders are there kind of laughing at him, you know, what a silly-looking cloak you're wearing there, Martin. But it's that night that he has the dream, and he sees Jesus Christ in this dream, and Jesus is walking in the midst of his saints, and he's wearing half the cloak, the beggar. And the saints are saying, like Peter and also said, Lord, where'd you get that beautiful cloak at? He said, Martin, my Savior, gave it to me. And that was his dream. And it was after that that he really got to know Jesus in this dream and started to come into the faith and really fall in love with Jesus. And I love these saints, you know, all of them. They seem to just want to be with him and go into deep solitude. And they do. You look at all the saints, even Patrick, 40 days in Mount St. Patrick, you know, Crow Patrick, Ignatius of Loyola, Francis of Assisi, you name these saints, John of the Cross, Teresa Avila, they seem to go away to be by themselves, Catherine of Siena, Rose of Lima, you know, and they just live in this solitude for a time, and they get to this love of Jesus, and that compels them to go out and now to see Jesus in everyone else. Because whatever we do to the least of his brother, we're doing to Jesus. So it's that love that compels him. But first of all, it's like I got to get to know Jesus in my own heart. And that's really solitude and that out-of-the-way place and praying and keeping his commandments. And he reveals himself. And when you do, you really know him, and then you want to serve him. You know, I mean, we can go out of a sense of duty and do our duty and help people and get food to the poor and all that. And sometimes it's just a sense of duty. I always call those works of function. But the works of unction is out of that love for Jesus, that you really see Jesus there in the poor and the suffering, all the beggars, and you're really touching him and experience his beautiful presence, because he does. He lives in each and every one of us, and he loves us all. And his whole thrust was about community. It was like two or three people come together. I'm in your midst. He wants us together. And that whole thing about love one another as I love you, you know, and take care of one another and give to the poor and clothe the naked and give drink to the thirsty and food to the hungry. And, you know, all this, we're driven to do that because that's his will. And when we, that's where we really love him the most, when we do his will, you know, and his will is that we take care of one another. But I love that story. And it's such a beautiful story with that cloak. And incidentally, that's where we get the word chapel from, Ken. That it was they have his that half a cloak in one of the churches there, the oratory of St. Martin. And it's called in Latin the capula. And that's where in the old French you get the word chapel. So we actually come up with the word chapel because of that half a cloak in that St. Martin cut in half and gave to the beggar and was actually giving it to Jesus himself. And I always like to see the end of the lives of the saints. And when we come to the end of the life of Martin, he's at a point where, you know, he's kind of sickly. He knows his time's coming. You know, saints seem to know that within days when they're going to leave this world, and he did. And there was a church that was fighting, and the clergy were fighting, and he wanted to go there first and really restore order and bring peace to the priest in that church there, which he did. And he never made it back home. He got real weak, and then he said, "I'm going to die," and his disciples came around him and all, and you know, they didn't want him to leave. And he's saying, "Lord, if your people still need me, I'm ready for the task, and your will be done." But it's like, "Your will be done, God, you know, whatever you want." So as he spoke words like that, he said this, "Allow me, brothers, to look toward," when he's dying now because he's so weak, "allow me, brothers, to look towards heaven rather than at earth," because they wanted to turn him over. They thought he was too sore laying on one side. He said, "I want to look towards heaven, so that my spirit may set on the right course when the time comes for me to go on my journey to the Lord." And as he spoke these words, he saw the devil standing near him. And he says to the devil, "Why do you stand there, you bloodthirsty brute?" he cried. "Murderer, you will not have me for your prey. Abraham is welcoming me into his embrace." And with these words, he gave up his spirit and went home to that place in heaven to receive the Lord Jesus in that beautiful place that Jesus has prepared for Martin and preparing for you, Ken, and me, and all the listeners. But it's just, I remember so many saints, you know, even Paul, you know, it's, "Lord, it's better if I go home with you, but it's far better that I stay here and help out, you know, your people." And St. Bernard was the same way. He said, "I don't know if it's, if I should go home to God or continue my ministry." He said, "Well, Lord, I'll just leave it up to you," Bernard said, and the Lord took him. And that's the point. We don't know the day or hour. He does. He calls that day or hour. And in the lives of the saints, he often reveals that day and hour than when it's coming closer and closer. But I found that interesting where the devil was right there, you know, for Martin. And you always see the devil's presence. You know, he never seems to give up. He never relents. Even on the crucifix, you know, when Jesus is dying, Satan is very much present there. It was called the mousetrap by a writer, theologian. He called it the mousetrap, and Jesus Christ was the bait. And Satan went for it, and Jesus Christ broke the back of Satan, sends out the Holy Spirit, all the graces flow out of there, that holy sacrifice of the Mass, and we're restored and redeemed and transcended back to who we really are as God's eternal children. But that whole thing that, you know, how beautiful that is, that the Lord has conquered Satan, and even though the devil never gives up. Ken, I was going to say this when we started. Satan is a sore loser. And I always remember playing basketball and baseball, when we would win the game, sometimes there would be a fight afterwards. Well, we won the game, but you're sore losers. We won. We won the game. Jesus Christ is the victor. He broke the devil's back, and we can just turn to him and receive all these wonderful graces of his, this power of his, and put Satan every time in his place if we just believe that Jesus Christ is always with us, and we just put him in front of us. "With him at my side, I shall not be disturbed." I said this last night. If the devil knocks at your door, let Jesus answer. And just this last one with Abba Joseph was dying, and he's in his 80s, you know, and the devil appears to him and looks at this holy man and says, "Abba, it looks like you won." And Abba Joseph said, "Not yet, not yet. If we got breath, there's still temptation, and the devil is still after us. but he's already lost if we just claim the victory and follow Jesus. You know, do what he says, follow him, and love one another. And it's glory time. We're home. We're home in the kingdom, even now while on earth.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's interesting because folks like myself that may have been away from the church for a while or, you know, lukewarm in their faith, and, you know, the devil doesn't have, Satan doesn't have much need to do anything with us because we're really not fighting against them. And then, you know, we make that turn and we start to draw closer and, you know, his ears perk up, his eyes perk up, he sends the demons. And now we find ourselves in a fight, and it amazes me, you know, to this day that, you know, the number of people that don't think he's real, and that's really his goal, right? You know, to make people think he doesn't exist. And then, you know, that they don't recognize the spiritual battle that they're in, especially, you know, the folks that are in recovery. And I think that's one of the great blessings of Calyx is to realize that you are, to some degree, in a battle. And that just because we start to do the right things doesn't mean life's going to get easy. As a matter of fact, it could get a whole lot harder because now you're aware of what you're doing. When you fall, when you sin, you know, the consequences, not necessarily the physical consequences like jail or trouble or that kind of stuff, but the spiritual consequences, the emotional consequences that we pay when we continue to do some of those things that are not good and are not of God. And so it's a learning process. And I know, you know, a number of people that listen to us now are friends that have found us through the work that we do with recovery. And, you know, you hear it from them too. You know, they're going along and things seem to be well. And, you know, out of nowhere comes that curveball and, you know, where did that come from, especially if you're experiencing it for the first time? And, again, that's why I think Calyx is important. That's why I think this radio apostolate's important, because the height of spiritual warfare is now, I think. You know, we see it now, brother against brother. We have family members not talking to each other over things like politics. You know, we have rioting and looting in our streets. We have people calling for, you know, we prayed for the police officers, and yet you have people that are out there, you know, praying for them to get shot and then, you know, showing glee when they're taken to the hospital. So if ever, at least in my lifetime, if ever we were in a spiritual warfare or a spiritual war, it certainly seems like it right now,
mm-hmm.
You know.
Sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, what you were saying, too, sometimes it seems everything's going okay. And it's just like Satan backs off a little bit for a while. And I remember someone saying he goes in the corner and he's doing push-ups, waiting the next opportunity to pounce on us. And even with Jesus's, you know, temptations, that the devil left him after the third, only for a time. He comes back again. But, you know, the truth is, Ken, Satan is a fallen creature. Sometimes people equate him with God, like, okay, here's this big warfare and it's a tug of war and God's pulling on one side and Satan's pulling on the other side and we're in the middle and they're both kind of like equal. Well, Satan's not equal to God. Satan is a fallen creature. He has no power unless we give it to him. You know, if I'm standing next to somebody, that hammer's not going to get up and hit me on the head. But Satan could suggest that person, pick that hammer up and give Father McKay a bang on that head there, you know. And that's how we give into that. We give him the power. And often think when the book of Job, this is what really hit me, where Job, Satan goes to heaven and God says to Satan, did you see my faithful servant Job down on earth? Oh, yeah, he's faithful, okay, but it's only because you blessed him. He lives a prosperous life. Let me test him a few times. We'll see how faithful he is. And God gives him permission. He goes down and he'll test Satan. But each time, Satan has to come back to ask God for permission to tempt Job more, you know, tear down his house, kill his children, put boils on him, destroy his life. Each time, but don't hurt his person. But then God even lets him get sick, you know. But each time, Satan has to ask God for permission. And evil has its parameters, where he says to the sea, this far and no farther. And he says that to evil and to Satan, this far and no farther. But whatever he permits, he brings good out of it. And we're tested in that spiritual warfare. And we become closer to God because we realize that we're really powerless. You know, we're poor in spirit. But when we open up our hearts and let God in and let these angels in and Michael, they'll fight our battle. We just, you know, can just surrender and cooperate with the battle. And the victory is ours.
Amen. Well, that brings us even past the bottom of the hour. So we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'd like to do our Is That Odd or Is That God segment, but we need you to call in. The number's 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. Was that slow enough, Bob? And 888-343-2484. If you need to call toll-free, 888-34-FAITH. Thanks. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Dr. Carol Houghton of the Diocese of Harrisburg. I have been blessed in many ways by Kathleen McCarthy's retreats, days of reflection, preaching, and teaching, especially on In His Sign Catholic Radio. When Kathleen teaches from the Scripture and shares with us her personal stories, I am deeply touched and inspired. It is as if God is speaking directly from her heart to my heart. And when Kathleen reads from her books, In the Silence of My Heart, she shares with us what God has spoken to her, an intimate message of unconditional love and mercy. God has blessed Kathleen with many gifts, which she readily shares with others, by doing every day what the Lord has asked of her. And by the example of her yes to God, we too are encouraged to give our yes to God. For Kathleen's daily and public witness to the gospel, I will be forever grateful. For it is by this example that she challenges me to become a better disciple of the Lord.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together, in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners. Again, your host Ken Johnston and Father Doug McKay. And we do want to praise and thank God for all of you that are listening today. And thanks for all you that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, especially your prayerful and financial contributions that allow us to broadcast shows like today's. We have started up Calyx again down in Grace Ferry. We get together every Tuesday night at 6 o'clock. If you're interested in learning more about Calyx, there's two websites. Our national website is calyxsociety.org. That's calyxsociety.org. And our local website is phillycalyx.com. You can learn about the society. It's primarily for Catholics and Christians that are in 12-step programs, and gives us an opportunity to get together and talk about the 12 steps in the light of our Catholic faith, and proclaim that Jesus Christ is our higher power, and what have you. So we are back together again in Grace Ferry on Tuesdays, and we just pray that this whole COVID pandemic thing starts to peter out. It seems like it's going in the other direction and building up, but God can overcome that as well as anything else. So keep the Catholic Society in prayer as well. And we got a taker on the line. Father, hello, Patrick.
Hey, how are you?
All right, brother, how are you?
Hey, Patrick.
I'm doing well. Hey, Father, how are you?
Good.
So you got a is that odd or is that God story for us?
I really do. And to see how Father touches other people, you know, he does. We have Calyx, and then on Thursday night, he does the ROR guys. And a good friend of mine, who's one of the ROR guys, Abby, doesn't come to Calyx, but he listens when Father Doug talks. And he sent it. We're in a group text with the Southwest Philly guys, like six of us. And this morning he sent, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." So I'm doing my daily readings, and the response today is, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want."
Yeah.
So to see that touch other people's lives, like I know what Calyx and Father Doug and you, Ken, have done for me to bring me closer to God, but to watch it work little by little in other people's lives, it is just amazing.
Mm. Amen. And that's how it works. I mean, Father, you shared about that last night, that you know, when we get this gift, it's not just for us, it's for us to share with others, to be those wounded healers, to be that light in a dark world. And you know, I'm sure Patrick would agree. I mean, it's not what we bargained for when we came here. We're looking to, you know, stop drinking or stop doing drugs or whatever it is that we need to stop doing and get some relief. And we not only get that, but we get so much more. And the idea that we can help anyone, let alone ourselves, is sometimes still amazes me.
Yeah. You know, I what you talked about last night, and I know in Patrick, how he, you know, would share the meetings, and the wonderful job you do, Pat, how you touch lives. But also, I often think about the one-on-one, you know, how you go after, Ken, you too, Patrick, go after just the one person, you know. It's almost like Jesus taking the one person out of the crowd, away from the herd, and just ministering to that one person. And I do that a lot. And I see that in you guys, because you feed my spirit. And I get excited, really, when somebody's knocking at the door and they need help. And that's constant. And I just see Jesus at that. I had to say this the other day. You know, I had the memorial mass for Margaret Hastings, and then I got back here, and what had happened was I had forgot about the meeting for Billy, and then I'm getting changed, you know, and then somebody else is at the door, and I come down and hear her. Actually, it would be my second cousin. She's telling me about her brother that they found dead, and you know, and just holding her here in front of the tabernacle, Susan, and just praying with her, and seeing the parents today, and just seeing Jesus Christ in this mist. And when I left the parents today, actually be my first cousin, and then that's our second kid that they buried, you know, they would hug and say, you know, your visit meant so much to us. We feel so much comfort. And you know, that's not each and every one of us. That's Jesus. But one of the things I was saying, when I was upstairs and I'm just getting changed, and sometimes I can't even get a breather with people, you know, sometimes it comes all at once. And my thought came to mind was this: you don't knock on a doctor's door and see a doctor anytime you want to see him. And a lot of times, you know, we try to put priesthood like 9 to 5, you know, like a business or banker hours, and it's not that. But that thought crossed my mind. I just felt the Lord saying, I am like your secretary. I make your agenda. I make your appointments. And so even though I thought I'm going to get a little lunch here and get dressed, somebody's at the door again, it's like my disappointment now is divine appointments. And when I really see that, boy, that really becomes so joyful. It becomes so exciting. I'm going down there to meet Jesus. And I sense that presence in him, you know. And that's the whole thing with Martin of Tours today, that Matthew 25, whatever you do to the least of my brethren, you're doing it to me. But to experience that really excites our hearts. And you know, it inspires one another. Like you say, you see me doing it and you feel inspiration, but I see you guys doing it and I'm inspired. And how we really need one another, you know. But that one-on-one, it's so precious. You know, yeah, I mean, we're always talking in front of groups and mass homilies, you know, at master's homilies and talks at Calix and different places. But, and that's really beautiful. But it's like when I sit down with somebody, it's a dialogue, more like a dialogue. You know, I was talking to Billy yesterday. They came and we're talking about trusting God and how, that's so important to him. And I can have a dialogue and ask him, you know, what trusting God will do for you, Billy. And he was saying, it reminds me where I was, and it reminds me of my needs. And when I trust in God, I'm back with him. I'm back in his presence. I have that grace and that strength that carries me through. So I'm hearing from, you know, the other people that I'm ministering to, but they're ministering to me as well. And how close we are to one another. You know, we're really one family. And, you know, just to see Jesus in one another. And it's all that prayer, private prayer, solitude. You know, you receive Jesus, and then you go out and you give Jesus, you know. But I see that in you, Patrick and Ken. You inspire me as well.
All right, gentlemen, have a blessed day.
All right, you too, Patrick. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it, bud.
Thanks, bye. Keep up your good work.
Amen. Thanks.
Yeah. All right. And see, it's not all that hard, Bob. And I know he's listening. I got a text message from him. So,
What about Bob?
What about Bob? But,
Hey, Bob, cut your tongue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, he'll get the boldness one of these days.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. How about you, Father? Got a odd or God?
Well, I just would say, Ken, you know, my odd or gods are like all day long, you know, where I experience his presence and I know it's God. You know, when the person's at the door, like Susan, it is the Lord, you know, or meeting the family. And then I visited my friend today, and this was an odd or God to me, you know, just bringing this to mind. He's in hospice, and they do have him on morphine. So he's been in and out, you know, and he would be like clear-headed, and I could talk to him, and then I would lose him, and he would come back again. But it came time to, you know, give him the sacraments and give him Holy Communion, and he's really in his last days. And he was kind of mumbling to himself, and I had to say, Charlie, body of Christ, you know. And when I held the Blessed Sacrament in front of him, Ken, I never saw someone fixate so deeply on the Blessed Sacrament. That his eyes gazed, he was just focused on the Blessed Sacrament for some time. And it was like, is this odd or God? This is God that I'm holding, you know. And here's a guy that is dying and in the midst of with mental stuff with the drugs that he has to be on. But, you know, to have that moment of clarity and to let me see that. Mm-hmm. And to let me see that presence of his, how he would bless himself and focus on the real presence of God. You know, that was for me. And Kathy was there today, you know, and Goody was there, and his daughter. And we all celebrated the sacraments around him. But all these graces, you know, it's God all day long. And I think as we move closer to him, Ken, mm-hmm. everything is divine intervention. Everything is divinely ordained and divinely orchestrated. But sometimes he knocks us off our feet. He does.
Yeah.
And it is God that's always there, and he lets us know it.
That's right. That's right. And that's why I struggle sometimes to come up with, you know, the particular odd or God, because it is. I mean, it's almost day in and day out people that get in touch with me, people that I'm prompted to get in touch with, phone calls, emails, people, especially those that contact me out of the blue when I'm not expecting it. And the role that those messages play in my life are huge, because I know when I hang up the phone that it wasn't necessarily their idea to call me, that idea came from somebody, and we know who that somebody is. And it's usually just in the nick of time or when I need to hear it. So, for Craig and some of the others that have Dr. Ron, some folks that have reached out to me in the last couple of days, I'm certain that it was God that prompted them at just the right moment to call me when I needed it most. And we all need that from time to time. And I say that because if you're being prompted, not you, Father, but our listeners, if you're being prompted to get in touch with somebody, to reach out to somebody, don't wait, because chances are you're being prompted because they need to hear from you now. Not that, later tonight or tomorrow will be too late, but you're being prompted now. And so I forget where I heard it, but it's been in the last week or so, that, when we get those promptings to do it now. Maybe it was you, Father. Do it now. Don't wait. Yeah. Don't put it off. Do it now.
Maybe that was Sunday's reading, right, Ken? We don't know the day or hour.
Yeah.
And don't put salvation off. Now's the time for salvation. That was my homily, really, on Sunday.
Yeah.
Don't put it off. There's no tomorrow. I used to go over to the Arcadia Club here when I was younger, and they had a sign up, free beer tomorrow. So I would go back and say, where's the free beer? Well, Father, it's tomorrow. Don't you get it? There is no tomorrow. You got to pay today.
Right. Yep.
Isn't that where salvation is? It's in today. It's in the present moment. It's not in the past or the future. That's not where we want to find God. And, look at all of our anxieties, right, Ken, and our fears. They're all in the future, and all of our worries are in the future because, I don't know if I can take care of that moment. I can take care of this moment in the present because this is where the grace is. And I need to trust God that he's going to be there in the future, in that worry state that we put ourselves in while we should be living in the present, or we put ourselves in that sorry state of our past sins and our past guilt. And all we really need to do is pause. Jesus, I trust in you. As soon as you say that, you're making a spiritual communion, and you're with Jesus. And it's like that wave of grace comes in. The fears leave. The sorrows leave. And I'm with Jesus. And the devil's going to poke me. He's going to bring up my past. And when he does, I bring up his future, and he's going to bring up the worries and all. And all I have to do is trust God. He's right there with me always, just as he promised, and stay in the present. And not to put it off till tomorrow. Yeah. And like you said, how many times in my life when I was prompted to go and visit somebody that was sick, I'll go tomorrow. And then I would get a call the next morning that so-and-so died during the night.
Yeah.
And you learn from your past things. When that spirit moves you, operate on that grace and go with it. Let the Lord lead us. That was Psalm 23, right? The Lord is my shepherd. There's nothing I shall want. And he leads us into those green pastures beside restful waters.
Well, yep, and the board's lighting up, Father. It looks like Bob got the holy boldness. Hello, Bob.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
Hama.
What took you so long?
Honor God, my name's Bob.
Hi, Bob.
It's always in the Lord's time, correct?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So what's happening?
Not a whole lot. I just want to... thank you guys for all the work you guys are doing. And I just wanted to give a shout out for everybody out in Delaware County, because all I'm ever hearing about is like Philadelphia and Southwest Philly.
I love Delaware and Springfield.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you were there last night, Bob, with the pizza.
Yeah, man.
So we got to bring those other Springfielders back.
Right?
Yeah. Right? Once they find out we got the pizza, they'll be back.
They'll be back.
Yeah. But, congratulations on passing your test with the realtor. You're going to be our house ministry's realtor.
Uh-oh.
You're going to find us that piece of land beside restful waters in an out-of-the-way place. So we're counting on you, Bob, so keep studying.
Yep. Pass
those tests.
I'll be able to sit now. I passed my preliminary testing, so I'll be able to sit for it. So just keep me in your prayer for that.
It will do. Will do, brother.
Yeah. But, all right. Real quick, I just want to thank you guys for being there for me, and you know, for you know, being able to talk one on one with you guys is a blessing, and the work that these are continuing to do through these tough times is a blessing, and it's so nice to have mass down there before the calyx and adoration.
Mm.
Really prepares you for the calyx meetings.
Yeah.
Yep.
And Bob, you know, I have to say, I see the Lord shining through you. Last week you were here right before the radio program. If you remember, I had to throw you out because I was going on the radio. But you were here for reasons like bringing clothes down, giving them the Patrick for those who really need them. You bring the pizza. You've given us a van for our ministry. You know, you don't think, I don't see God's hand in all of that, and he's really working through you, Bob. So you just keep up the good work and let him do his work through you, because you're a shining light here in the darkness of Grace Ferry. So God bless you and thank you. Yeah. And I know Ken
thank
would
you,
say
Father
the same.
Doug.
Nah, amen. Amen.
Thank you, Ken.
Yeah, it's been a blessing over the you know, the past couple of years to have you and Luke and George and now John, you know, the guys from Delco that are making the trip on Tuesdays down to Grace Ferry. It's been great getting to know you guys and to be on the same path with you. So
we got the new guy, John, from Springfield.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we got the new
He's
guy,
on
right?
fire. He's on fire.
Yeah.
What a blessing.
Yeah. Well, we're getting close to the end here, and then we do have another caller, Bob. So
awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't be bashful. Call again.
What about the ice, Bob?
Right?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, there's another Bob out there that's going to call in, so don't worry.
All right. Thanks, bud.
Thank you, gentlemen.
All right.
You guys. God bless.
You too.
God bless, Bob.
Peace.
See you.
We did it.
We did it. Jesus, we did it. We got him to call. And now I think we may have one of our regulars on the other line here. Hello, Mike.
Hello, guys. How are you?
There he is.
Nice to hear from you.
You too.
I'm sitting here thinking, ah, don't worry about it, you know what I mean? And an out of God incident. And so I'm driving down the street, and there's a guy walking down the street, and he looks like this guy, Calvin, who passed away. And I said to Carol, I said, look, there goes Calvin. She said, oh, my God. We chuckled a little bit, and she said, I love Calvin. And I said, I love subs too. So we go home, and then I get a text from this guy, Dominic, and he said, thinking about Calvin, you know, 86. And, you know, we usually go around the room and tell our, like, our sober date, you know, and he would always say, you know, Calvin, I'm Calvin, November 86. And so I said, is that on or is that gone? Like, I couldn't believe, like, and I told Carol about it, and I said, this is unbelievable. Like, it was just, you know, we were just talking about Calvin, and I get home, and I get a text from Dominic. I said, this is insane. This is crazy. And so I'm sitting here thinking of it, and I'm thinking, don't worry about it. You know, ain't no out of God. What it is, you know what I mean? He was such a good person. And so I just think, God, like every time I think of somebody who just died or something like that, or I'm thinking of somebody passed away, like I always cross myself and thinking they need a prayer, you know?
Mm.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that was a call from God that Calvin needed
a lot.
Prayer.
But
I could not believe it. And
yep.
So when you experience an out of God experience, it's like, that somebody needs a prayer.
Yep.
And, you know, it was good to hear. And I have to say that I wasn't going. I said, Mike, why not? You know, it's meant to be.
Amen. Well, certainly appreciate it, Mike. Always good to hear from you, bud. Are you still? Down in South Jersey?
What's that? No. I came down. I'm back home now, and you know, ready to go to Calyx. What's happening with Calyx?
Yeah, we missed you.
We
last
missed
night.
You last night, brother.
Okay. All right. Sounds good.
All right,
good.
Bub. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Yeah.
All right, I'll talk to you later.
All right, God bless you, Mike. So, thanks.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Michael.
Bye-bye.
About that.
Yeah.
You know, I think of that, you know, Ken, when people always come to mind all day long.
Mm.
And I do. You know, I pray for them, you know. But sometimes I think they're saying to me, I'm praying for you, Dougie.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I'm sure they are as well, because we are that mystical body of Christ. And death doesn't end anything, you know. It's just the church militant, right? The
yep.
church suffering, as you mentioned last week, I think, and the yeah. church triumphant.
Yeah.
And we're all God's children, boy, I tell you, and he just wants us all together. So when they come to mind, I praise and thank God for the people I know and what they've done for me and how they touched my heart. I thank God for them. I pray for them. But I also hear them saying, we're praying for you too, Douglas.
Amen. And
one another's prayers.
Yeah, we just have a few minutes left. And, you know, we talked last night about talking today about all souls and all saints and purgatory, and it's kind of a big subject to carry, you know, to talk about in 3 minutes. But really, that's what we're talking about when somebody comes to mind that is no longer with us here on earth, that we can pray for them. And actually, our guest in the 5 o'clock hour, we're going to spend the whole 5 o'clock hour talking about the holy souls in purgatory. Susan Tassone is going to be on. And really, that's what she lives her life for, is for those holy souls. And so it was a devotion I never really had. I didn't think much of until I had Susan on a couple of months ago. And now I find myself praying to them all the time. And to your point, you know, it's a pretty good deal, because they can't pray for themselves. They're dependent on us in order to get from purgatory to heaven. And God already knows, like you've told me, God already knows the prayers that we're going to say, so they get applied, you know, in the past, because God knows that they were going to come. But the idea that while they're in purgatory, they can pray for us, and imagine that they are freed from purgatory and make their way to heaven, as we, you know, all those souls in purgatory will eventually, that now we have an intercessor that we've prayed for, that's now praying for us. I think that's a pretty good bargain.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, too, remember in school, to pray for the most abandoned soul
yeah.
in purgatory.
Yep.
Right? And I always remember that, someone that you're not praying for, but pray for the most abandoned soul in purgatory. And then you have that particular soul for yourself when that soul gets to heaven too.
Yeah.
To, you know, pray for you. You know, that's really powerful. But
yeah,
the most
that's one of
soul.
Yeah, and that's one of the prayers we say after Mass on Tuesday nights. You know, to pray for the soul most abandoned and those that have none to pray for them. Mm-hmm. And so yeah, we can adopt as many of them as we want. And if you're not sure how to do it or what all is involved, I encourage our listeners to stick around for the 5 o'clock hour when we have Susan on. It will be going into it in depth, I'm certain. So,
very good.
Yeah.
And we'll have to carry this topic over next week for the, you know, souls in purgatory. Of course, what a beautiful doctrine we have there.
Yep.
I often think with, you know, blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God, and only they. So if you die and your heart's not pure and there's no purgatory, where do you go?
Yeah, right.
You know, so that transition into heaven. And it's really a step up, Ken. I remember...
Yep.
A woman at Holy Family Home said to me, I can't wait to go to purgatory. I said, why? She said, because I won't sin anymore there. I won't offend our Lord anymore. And how true that is.
Mm.
We won't be offending the Lord. He'll be with us and purifying us and transforming us. That's why I always say it's a purgative stage, but it's also it's a lumative and unitive.
Mm.
What a blessing to prepare us to see God face to face.
Amen. So we are at the top of the hour, Father, so how about if we get your blessing before we go?
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, we ask your blessing upon all of our veterans and police officers, firefighters, emergency medical personnel, and for all the faithful departed, and especially for those that I know who have just crossed over, my cousin Harry Tate and Margaret, and for Charlie, who's coming close to seeing you face to face. And just, Lord, a blessing upon us all and those who are listening and all the elderly. Lord, let us all know you're always with us until the end of time. And the Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. May the divine assistance remain always with us.
And may the souls of the faithful departed,
through the mercy
of God, rest in peace. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Ken.
All right, pal. Talk to you soon. For our listeners, don't go away. We'll be right back.